I ran marketing departments in corporate America for 10 years and then ran a digital agency for over another 10 years. So I know the roadmap to online success, and that formula always includes producing content to share your message, from your marketing message to sales and delivery. Hi, I'm Jennifer Neal, and you're listening to The Content Toolbox. I believe the secret to finding and creating raving fans online is through you. In building relationships through stories that share who you really are, create genuine, crazy, raving fans that keep begging you to take their money. And on this podcast, we'll be talking strategies, tactics, tips, and more with myself and other industry experts. So buckle up and start your engines, because it's go time.
On this episode, we have my dear friend, Mr. Mark Stern, who does some super cool, amazing things with custom boxes. And in fact, I just did an opening on this. We may have to insert the opening recording into part of this so you guys can see the amazingness of all the boxes and online summit stuff as well. So welcome, Mark.
I'm glad to be here. It's good seeing you, Jen.
Before we dive into all of our super tactical stuff, I'd really like to kind of give a little background about you. So just tell us a little bit about your history and kind of how you got where you are.
Awesome. Yeah. So hey, everyone, I'm Mark Stern. I am from Montgomery, Alabama, and I was raised with this whole idea, and I think a lot of us had this, that there's this natural path to happiness. And it's, you know, you go to high school, you graduate, you go to college, graduate, dream job, you may go back to grad school, then dream job and picket fences. And I got my MBA, it was 2012, graduated from Duke and enrolled in I found myself in 2012, $165,000 in student loan debt. I just committed 2 years to a consulting firm, which if you work for a consulting firm, by contract, they own everything you produce. And this is like at the cusp of like having this inner desire to be an entrepreneur. So, you know, I found myself at this point in life that was like, this isn't like the pathway to happiness. And the more I learned about the digital marketing realm and seeing people kind of really seizing life on their own terms and creating their own impact and not being limited by a corporate structure, you know, it was one of those things that I always talked about, like the someday I was going to make the leap. And it literally took me 6 years. It's such a mindset game when you make that shift. But it was end of 2017 that I was like, if I don't make the shift now to entrepreneurship and to kind of scratch this itch, I never will. And came back from holiday break, beginning of 2018, and said, I've got to go all in on this and I've got to pursue this dream. And at the time, had no idea what I was going to do. I just knew that I'd figure it out once I could like release the mental capacity of a demanding corporate job. And really flash forward to today, the crux of where I love to play is, one, a virtual event. How do you create a virtual experience? So we are very accustomed to going to live events or masterminds or conferences. How do you think about turning that experience virtually, and how do you rewire it a little bit differently? But more importantly, we have another business that's all about custom boxes that you generate all this amazing content through the virtual event experience. Can I create a physical element to really set people up for more success when they go and engage with me digitally as well? So it's like really complementing physical meets digital.
I so love that. And honestly, everything that you just said, even in right now at the time that we are recording this, we are in the middle of the the pandemic. And I think that there's so many things, like you said, the mindset game, and so many people at this point in time are forced into that to have to make the leap. And in such a similar situation where you were at. So I think this is absolutely ideal. And then also the fact that there's no live events happening right now. Mm-hmm. Everything is virtual. This is super timely.
It's so crazy how things shifted, because now I don't think that, like, before digital was its own little bubble and its own little world, that coming from corporate, like, they have different sets of rules. They have different, like, the mindset around how you'd be successful is completely different. The standards of how you would be successful are completely different. So it's amazing to see now you have this corporate world that is being forced into this digital realm. And they are just like, I have no idea where to begin, which was totally me 2 years ago, because I was like, I had such a corporate mindset coming into the digital game. And it was like the one thing I had to learn to let go to learn how to play a new game, because it's new rules, it's a new situation, it's a new environment. So that's what's really interesting, is that like people are now in a position that they're forced to learn digital fast, because that's the only option right now for a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I mean, you came out of corporate, and how much of really what you're doing right now with online events and then supporting that with custom boxes, like how much of that came from your corporate career, and what was the path that you kind of went down to discover this is how I'm going to package my content and my message?
Yeah, such a good question, actually. Here's the biggest struggle that I had is I came from a corporate realm in which anything you produce had to be what we call client ready, which means that it had to be flawless. If it was a deck, if it was a present, like whatever it is, if it was a document, like the grammar had to be 100% on point, the layout and the formatting, the design, everything had to be client ready. Then you switched into an environment like digital, where a lot of the mottos that you see are people say, done beats perfect, launch imperfectly. The idea of like the thing that you put out there, like it's okay if it has misspellings, it's okay if it's not 100% complete. And that was a completely different rewiring for me. So when you talk about like, how do I think about content and like putting together a product, there's initially everything that I produce would be at such a level of like what I'm used to in corporate America of perfection, because that was the standard. The standard is just, it's a very different standard in the digital game. So what I would advise to people who are like in that situation, and what I did personally, was I don't feel 100%, like for me, launching perfectly and getting stuff out there doesn't mean that what you're launching is something of value. And I don't want, like, that's, I think, where a muddy line gets confused, is that there's power in launching imperfectly and launching a product fast to get reaction. But just because you put it out there doesn't mean it's of value and of a quality. And that's the one piece I would say, is that when I put something out there, I want it to reflect my brand and my style, and what it would be like working with me. So that is one of those things that, like, if I can take another week or another day and make the quality of the output of the product that much better, which is so holding on to something that's deep corporate, I tend to do that, even if it means I'm delaying what I'm producing a little bit longer. So that's kind of my own philosophy. But what's happening now is, when you see more corporates coming into the digital marketing realm, they're expecting that standard. So although people who are exclusively digital may have a different standard, I think that you're going to see the tide shifting, that if that's how you view things and that's how people expect a certain level of quality, you know, when I think about packaging it, I think about not only is it who I'm serving in the digital realm, but how can I translate this to a story that a corporate entity, if they were to look at it, small, medium, large size business, it's of a quality and it's of a professionalism that would work with them. And that's ultimately, you know, having made that transition, I'm so primed, Jen, you are too, to like advise these people on how to do this successfully. And you can, I mean, you, it's not just a low ticket play, it's totally a medium to high ticket play once you've mastered that element.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love that it's so timely right now, because like you said, there's, and I even talked about it in a past episode, where there's like this pendulum that has been swinging in terms of like marketing strategy. And for a long time, the digital world has been this, like, just slap it together, get it out, it's good. And now, excuse me, it's with so many people going online, I think that the market's going to become so super flooded that you're going to have something else that stands out. And that's where that quality comes in. And that's where that tactical experience, I think, comes in.
So, and for the listeners, like, Jen and I have like nerded out to this evening, this topic. So we talk about this all the time because it's so relevant to what's going on right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it has. Hashtag nerd talk.
Yeah, I know. It's like,
So let's talk about, online virtual summits. And I think that there might be a misconception for a lot of people who are even just getting started that, like, that's not for me. So why don't you tell me what your advice is on that?
Yeah, so virtual summits, the traditional model that people are used to online is that, you know, you'd have a host that would interview a whole bunch of speakers, 25 plus speakers. And the way that they would deliver it is, the virtual summit model historically has been a big lead generation tool. How do I collect emails? So the summit would be treated in some ways like a live event if you went to a live conference, where I could say, we have a virtual summit that's happening May 1st through 5th. And if I interviewed, let's just say I interviewed 25 speakers, I may release 5 speakers a day and you have 24 hours to watch it. Otherwise, the content gets locked, and the only way to unlock the content, if you can watch it the day it was live, would be to buy a digital access pass. So that's very much the traditional model. So you get free access for your email. You give me your email, I give you free access for a limited time. And then I put urgency around, do you want all these recordings? Pay a price. The challenge that I have with that model is that a lot of it feels like a podcast. And when you look at podcasts, people don't pay for podcasts. People don't pay for a lot of the live sessions that happen in Facebook groups. There are some paid Facebook groups, but for the most part, like, that's the challenge of what I'm seeing a lot in the marketplace, is that people who sell recordings, if you do a virtual summit, you're selling potentially 25 hours worth of recordings if each of the interviews is an hour long, which means someone's going to be sitting and listening to 25 hours worth of recordings that are all about education rather than action. So I look at it and say, how do you utilize it as a mechanism to get people in? But I'm less concerned about locking the video content. I'm more concerned about spotlighting a small call to action that would get them to take action on whatever the theme of the virtual event. So that's how I look at a lot of it, is that you're activating a lot of experts. How do you design an experience that leads people to go deeper into your world? So if you have low, medium, high ticket offers, be courses or coaching, whatever that call to action is, you want to design a virtual event to kind of lead you to want to take those call to actions, and let the call to actions truly be things that will help them get quick wins with whatever they're trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. Let me pause there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you for an example even.
Yeah, and I'll give you an example. This is like a perfect way. And one of the things that we do is we talk about, like, I love to do physical products with a digital experience. Yep. So when we do a virtual event, a perfect example is back last year, one of the events that we did was this event called High Ticket Online. So for those of you who are listening to this session, I'm holding up a black box. It was the physical box we mailed out. It's a branded box. And essentially what the event was designed to do was that, how can I better educate people in online marketing about how to develop a high ticket program? And part of what I was seeing in the marketplace was that people were flocking towards anyone who said that they did high ticket. And the reality is there's many different ways to do high ticket. And it's more of like finding the way, like understanding your business model and your business structure, and finding people who have a complementary business structure to you, to like model what's working with their business structure as an accelerator, but also seeing what other things are happening in the marketplace. So we spotlighted 12 very different experts in that field. It was a small virtual event. And we were very intentional with the questions we asked, because we knew what our call to action was: have a digital course that we called High Ticket Decoded that will walk people through how to think about structuring their high ticket program. But a lot of the insights for how we devised that program were strategically sourced by the speakers that we interviewed. So we're leveraging the content and the virtual event platform to get more data points to create a better call to action on the back end. And the output of that is those who attended the event could see the sessions for free. It's now evergreen. It's been evergreen. So you can watch those sessions at any time. Just pop in your email address at highticket.online. So anyone can get access to the value. So I'm not selling those interviews. I'm making them accessible to people who want to see them, which really also helps like spotlight those influencers. But more importantly, we took those sessions, built a physical box out of it. And I'm holding up the box, and we have the actual pictures of the speakers on the box itself. We turned the speakers into trading cards that had their unique identities and their unique approaches to how they developed a high ticket program. We had a publication and a workbook that came with it. We had some swag. I usually wear a hat and have like sunglasses around my neck, especially in the summertime. So I included some swag that was a hat and some aviator sunglasses. So you got this whole branded box experience that was really powerful. It was something that we charged a really low ticket price for. It was $97. But because we kind of complemented that digital experience with something physical, you know, that was a product that was really converting. It did really well in the marketplace. But more importantly, we leveraged the virtual event model and something and repurposing that content to create something physical that allowed us to now have an evergreen product. So now the content from High Ticket Online isn't about when we released it in, I think it was May of 2019. Now it's a standalone product that we can continue to enhance and continue to elevate and continue to sell well beyond that event. So it's truly thinking about, if you follow, like, Jen, your whole world is about how do you think strategically about amplifying your content? Mm-hmm. Like, it's such a powerful tactic to just say you're already, like, it's not about just jumping in and like interviewing any speaker. It's about knowing what the call to action looks like and designing the virtual event experience to better source insights, but lead people on a more natural journey to want to get that call to action.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's such an amazing way of, like, basically what you've done is said, okay, I'm going to create strategic JV alliances with people who are in a similar world as me, and we can all support each other. And we're looking at this going, what is the absolute best customer journey that we want to take them through? Like, you're crafting that entire experience right from the beginning, creating that wow, which again is something that I've talked about a lot as well, is like following that customer journey and creating that, the story creates raving fans right from the start. So as you're building your list, you're building a list of like raving fans of people who just want to keep having more of your stuff because they love it.
And when we were talking about like the power of repurposing, so many people will film one little thing and never do anything else with it. Like these 12 interviews, like just from these 12 interviews, that was it, just 12 interviews. And just be like being really organized with what we were trying to achieve. I can show quick examples of like the output, but it's literally like from 12 interviews and that was it. And we were able to build an entire physical product, but you see, like, we had from the event, the pictures of all of our influencers. Mm-hmm. So it was easy to mirror the design. So it extended the branding around the experience. We took, I did a profiling exercise at the beginning of my interview with every speaker, and we took those insights and turned them into cards. So this is just from the interview. The back, we had an actionable blueprint in terms of how to design your high ticket programs, how to attract and close leads, and how to onboard them from each influencer. So this is from that one interview that I conducted with them. We took the same materials and flipped it into a workbook where people can do a couple of things. You could see every influencer, you know, we had some additional information and some place where they can type notes. And finally, with a publication that we also included with it, you know, we went through the sessions and pulled out a lot of the highlights and the notes and popped them into a book. So you're seeing, and that's not all where we stopped. We took the content and turned it evergreen so people can opt in at any point and get access to the content. We then transcribed all the interviews and had an editor go through and clean up every transcription. And we put all the sessions together to form a book as another lead magnet. But again, like, all of this built so much collateral from one interview conducted with 12 different people. And that was it. So it's looking at like I could just do an interview and just let it be, or I could truly think, and here's the thing, a lot of the information is duplicative. It tells a similar story, or it's a repeat of the information from asset to asset, but you got to recognize that we all interpret things differently. There's different means in terms of how we get things to resonate. So the audio recording of the interview, even though it's the same thing as a lot of the insights on the trading cards, the same thing that's in the book or the publication, the same thing that's in the workbook itself, different people resonate at different points. And sometimes you have to hear the same thing again and again and again for it to resonate in a way for you to take action. So that's where it's just like, it allows me to amplify and create something that honestly, like, if I tell you that that was 12 hours of interviews that we did over a couple of weeks, if you did two or three a week, like, and that's how we were able to produce such a powerful product, it stands out so much more in the marketplace than if we were just to do a one-off interview and never use the information ever again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I love it so, so much. I mean, even what we teach in the Social Content Machine is to take the video and or the podcast or whatever it is that you're doing, get that transcription and we turn it into a blog. So now you've taken that even a step further and you've created a whole additional content repurposing in printed format. So you're providing that tactical experience on top of what they can access digitally.
That's it. Like, yeah.
So amazing.
Yeah, that's it. It's like you have, like, when you start this game, it, like, content doesn't have to be difficult. And I've been through your product, and your product's amazing, and more people need to go through your product because it's amazing. But like, that's just like, you just, it's just knowing what you need to do, and you can start to automate a lot of this. So
follow absolutely. Jen. All right. So let's look at this from a couple of experiences, or from a couple of different angles. So for, somebody who is just getting started in getting their message out, whatever the content is, what would you recommend that they take towards first steps in a producing a box?
Producing a box. So really what I would say is, it's what is your ultimate goal with the box? So a lot of people, I think by default, think about boxes as I'm going to do a swag box. And so they put a hat and they put some branded stuff and they ship it out. So people love swag. People love t-shirts. People love that stuff. But the way I look at it is like, there's three different parts of the customer life cycle, and it just depends on where you're playing. So we can talk about acquisition, which is where you acquire a new customer. We can talk about fulfillment, which is after you've acquired the customer, how do you fulfill upon whatever promise that you deliver to acquire them? And then there's retention. So how do you retain them afterwards? And if you think about the different parts of the equation, if I'm thinking about a box, if I want to build a relationship with influencers, I may create a box that is what I call a networking box. That's an acquisition box. If I want to do some prospecting to close high ticket clients, the way I would do it is, how can I create a box? And this is something that we're starting to do within our agency, is create a box that we could just ship out to try and attract another high ticket client. So it's all about prospecting. If you're at the point of fulfillment, you're a course creator, I'd say do an onboarding box. An onboarding box is about providing your students with the tools they need to be successful. So I just sent Jen the Rover box because she's in one of my programs right now too. This is a perfect example of an onboarding box because it's like, it has the workbook and it has a lot of the assets that complement the digital experience. The other type of fulfillment box is, think of like Dollar Shave Club or any box of the months. It's instant fulfillment, but it's a box that has the assets that you buy it and it's delivered. The last category is when you think about retaining your customers, you may do what I call an achievement box. So if your customer hits a milestone, you may reward them for hitting that milestone by sending them something in the mail. Kajabi does this great. If you make your first $1,000 on Kajabi, Kajabi's a online marketing platform that does sales funnel and email management. It does a lot of the baseline functions. If you make your first $1,000, they send you a Kajabi Hero t-shirt. That's an achievement piece. ClickFunnels, if you're familiar with that, it's another funnel building software platform. If you make $1 million, they send you a 2-comma club award. That's an achievement piece. And then the other type of retention play is a surprise and delight piece. So what a surprise and delight piece is if you have an agency and you have clients, even if you have students, you may send them something in the mail that they're not expecting, and it creates that surprise and delight element to it. So there's a lot of different strategies to do it. For most people, if you're a course creator or you're just getting started out, the onboarding box is something that you can easily do to complement whatever you're producing for your community to give them the tools they need to be successful. And I say this for people who are course creators because right now, like the latest stats that I've seen, and a friend of mine is an expert in the space, a friend of ours, Tara Bryan, you know, one of the things that she talks about is course completion rates are like at 3% right now. Yeah. And a part of it is that people don't think about like the objections and how they've designed the course and how they, Tara talks about what's called the dip, how you manage the dip to keep people engaged. Things like physical boxes to complement the digital experience is all about removing barriers to be successful. So a barrier to be successful is if you have a course and you have digital worksheets, that's a barrier because you're requiring your students to potentially have to download those worksheets or print them out in order to be successful. If I mail you a workbook, then I eliminate that barrier because I'm giving you the asset that you need as opposed to making you work for it in order to be able to utilize it. So those are the things that I'd start to think about how you complement it. And here's the secret. It's not that expensive. Like once you know this process, if you build it into your pricing structure, especially, it could be the difference. We're seeing higher conversions in our products because we complement it with something physical than when we don't.
Yep. And your program where you teach people these applications and how to get started and everything from design to where to get things printed and what to put in the box, that program is super, super valuable. And so go ahead and tell us where we can send people.
So if you want to learn how to do custom boxes, we have this challenge. It's currently priced at I think like $37. So we wanted to make it just really, really accessible to people. But we teach you in under 2 hours how you can go through strategizing, sourcing, fulfilling, and then automating the whole process of custom boxes. So when you think, a lot of people think it's going to be really expensive and shipping is going to be really expensive. And if I really want to do it, I need to do it myself. It's actually cheaper to bring on a fulfillment vendor to hold your inventory and to assemble your boxes and to ship it out than for you to do it. But you'd be, and they get cheaper shipping rates than you ever will because they ship in bulk. So this is why, like, it's a really powerful process to learn in under 2 hours, like, how to do this whole custom box process.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, definitely go check that out. I've been through that course also. In fact, some of you may be getting a box in the mail coming soon. What? all right. So Mark, you have been on a pretty amazing journey over the last couple of years. Looking back over that, what would you say are some of the most transformative things that you have gone through personally?
Well, that's such a good question. The biggest obstacle I faced was I walked into entrepreneurship with a corporate mindset. And the saying that I say to my community again and again is corporate versus entrepreneurship is like checkers versus chess. The game boards may look the same. The rules are completely different. And a lot of the critical element of it is, I think people who like leave a corporate job and come to digital marketing, they just assume I need to push the reset button. And now I'm learning new skills in a new world. No. That's not what it is. Like, once I was able to segment those into like two different worlds with different rules, and it's like Monopoly versus chutes and ladders. Like, you can't play chutes and ladders with a Monopoly set of rules. You got to learn the new rules. But where it gets interesting is what you've learned through your previous experiences. Once you learn how to play a new game, that those previous experiences become your competitive edge and what makes you unique in the marketplace. So that's like, once I like broke those apart and realized it, that was like, I don't know, that was mind blowing to me. Once I separated those two and realized, wait a second, I know how to play this new digital marketing or online entrepreneur game. Now let me bring my skill set over. And that's where Mark Stern becomes Mark Stern and not another, and you become you, and not another digital marketer. So that for me was really profound. The other thing is, people tend to do things by themselves. When you create something, you lock yourself in a room and you do all the filming. And the problem with that is, when you create products in a vacuum by yourself, you are only going off the data points inside your head. Your product is only as good as the insights you have inside your head. When you start to collaborate, which collaboration really doesn't cost money, you know, to reach out to people, to start to engage other influencers. That's why I love the virtual event model, but it's the same with podcasting. It's the same with anything that requires you to engage with other people. When you start to engage with other people, you get more data points. When you get more data points, you get more insights to make better recommendations. And in corporate consulting, this was like one of the best things that I pulled over. Anytime we'd make a recommendation to a client, if the client disagreed with the recommendation, our only question would be, well, show us better data points so we can make a better recommendation. So that's where it's just like, collecting the insights, doing research, engaging with other influencers. Don't be afraid. Your biggest limiting factor is you. Like, it's what's between the ears is the only thing that's going to hold you back. And once you get that on, like, you'll realize just how giving people are in this community, in this world, you know? It's been like, it's been such a fun journey. People always say entrepreneurship is such a lonely game. It would be if I didn't engage other people.
Yep. In fact, I think that's how, Live Events Online was actually put together, right? In understanding the collaboration and how do we make this work for all of us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think kind of circling back to that, you know, even if you're just getting started or you're feeling lonely, especially in the world today, is that looking at doing, you know, go through the high ticket online. Because learning how to really establish those collaborative relationships, get that more, get those more data points, that's just going to help rise all of you. But it's gonna, that's, if that was one of the turning points, then that's can, that can be a turning point for anybody.
Yeah, I mean that's it. People are nice. They're approachable. You know, the only thing is, like, when you don't engage someone else, the answer is no. If you do engage them, the answer is yes or no. Yep. So they may, like, you may get rejected if you reach out to someone and whatnot. It happens as part of the game, but like, you only get a yes in the equation if you like put yourself out there and take those risks.
Absolutely. I love it. All right. Any other advice that you would recommend for someone just getting started? And yeah, I guess just that.
Yeah. Join a community, listen to podcasts, follow people. It doesn't necessarily have to cost you any money, but like anytime, like this is one of the things that like I can't stress enough. When you get started, it's easy to be in a state of consumption where you're constantly absorbing information. Like the story I like to try and paint is, if I told you that even if you're brand new to this game, that for everything you read a book, you're absorbing information. You join and are engaged in a Facebook community, you're absorbing information. You go to a conference, you listen to a podcast, you're absorbing information. What happens is that a lot of people just get in this paralysis state because they keep on absorbing information. And if I had to challenge you and say, for every time you like read something that you absorbed information, you collected a card, and your goal is to play the card, and which is demonstrating what you've learned and demonstrating those insights, like get in the habit of demonstrating what you've learned and demonstrating it publicly, because that's an instant form of content creation. So if you read a book, write a blog post about what your key takeaways were. You just created content, and then go through Jen's system and learn how to blow up that content 1,000 different ways. like that's like the power of it. You go to a conference, film yourself live talking about your key insights, or write an email out that you know, talk about what you learned. It's all about like absorbing, but also demonstrating what you're learning. And the faster you can get in the habit of doing that, it may be bumpy, it may be uncomfortable at the beginning, but we all had to start from somewhere, and it was uncomfortable and it was a learning process for all of us. So the sooner that you can just start doing that, absorbing information, playing the card, I mean, you will start producing content like none other, but it's going to start really creating that traction, and just movement like starts creating traction as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then let's look at this from an experienced business standpoint. So those who have already been around in this digital world, or maybe super experienced physical businesses that are now transitioning online, but there's a lot of businesses that have been around doing this game for a long time. So how would you recommend, at that point, there's a lot of moving pieces and with everything going on, how would you recommend that they get involved taking advantage of things like physical product stuff with custom boxes and online events?
Yeah, if you're, and are you saying an established heavily online business, or a business that heavily operates offline in the more corporate world, or does it matter?
Well, actually, I kind of want to make sure that anybody who's listening here can see exactly how this is going to apply to you. So let's start with heavily online established and then move back to corporate.
Yeah, especially if you have the cool thing about like virtual events is it's an opportunity to establish yourself as an attractive character and let people get to know you. People want to feel connected to you. So a lot of influencers talk about this idea of people aren't buying your product, they're buying you and what you have to offer. So if you're a small business or a big business, I mean, even a big corporation, in terms of the messaging you put out there, in terms of your values as a corporation or a company, in terms of the charities that you are involved in, like that's all part of your personality and how people perceive you in the marketplace as well. So the cool thing about doing like a virtual event is you're inviting people to get more intimate with you and get to know you on a lot more personal level. So that's like the power of it. The power of a custom box or something physical is you're activating your tribe. When you do something physical, and this is what I tell any big business, if everything you do is online only, and it's a lot of online products, and it's a lot of online presence, what happens is that you can't activate your tribe visually in the way you can if you send them a custom box. The power of a custom box is you can do unboxing videos. I can take pictures wearing a t-shirt or holding a mug with your logo on it. The power of that is when you start to collect those insights, like when we send out boxes and people start to do unboxing videos and take pictures with them and post them on the internet, it starts to create buzz because then other people are like, what is that and how do I get to be part of it? And I can take a collage of those pictures and show a bunch of people, and it's me showing you how I've activated my tribe. If you do digital only, you can't do that. There's no unboxing videos with digital only products. So that's kind of like the power of just from an organic traffic perspective, or even if you repurpose those insights and put them into paid traffic, just it's a very powerful thing that if I had digital product with paid traffic only, I can't take advantage of that organic traffic. So that would be true for online and brick and mortar. With brick and mortar, part of it is just, again, making your message more accessible to people. So I guess the response is, it doesn't really matter. The only difference would be like how to, like, you, if a business did not have a real strong online presence, you know, I would still say a digital or virtual event is a great way to connect you with other influencers. And it's a great way to become a little bit more intimate with your audience.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And something I just thought of also is even with larger corporations right now, mm-hmm. Is my camera getting darker even?
No, you're good.
Even with larger corporations right now, they've had to send their entire team home. So their entire team is working virtually. This would be an amazing time to do employee retention, keep your employees happy by sending them out some fun stuff.
Totally. Totally. Like this is, I mean, such a great, that's the power of, especially like when we talk about live events, because that's what you're seeing with a lot of corporations.
Yep.
Is that they're having to cancel their live event. They're having to repurpose it for a virtual platform. You know, one of the things we talk about a lot in our world is live events are unique in the sense that you can control the environment. And a lot of how you connect with your environment is through your senses. Sense of sight, sense of sound, sense of smell, taste, and touch. When you go strictly digital, you are only stimulating what you see and what you hear. That's it. You're not stimulating smell, taste, or touch. So when you introduce a physical box, that's another way that you can better connect with people, because in a physical box, by nature of it being a box, you stimulate touch. You can add elements inside the box that also activate taste and smell to truly create something that really evokes all the senses and really connects you even more. But you just can't get that intimate if you don't have that physical piece there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the message is, I think I'm going to say what I've learned from our time together here, get collaborative, get virtual, and get a box.
Yes. I'm speaking my love language. But yeah, I mean, they're all things. And again, they're all things that don't necessarily have to break the bank. It's about just understanding the rules of how to play a new game. And then put it through Jen's system and you'd have just content for ages.
and the box system, because then that's a whole other, yeah, that's amazing. I actually think I'm going to have to talk with you about adding some stuff into our content machine. It's amazing. Yeah. All right, anything that I missed in terms of advice or anything else that you would like to share?
No, this has been awesome. No, I'm super grateful to you. Usually my core piece of advice, and I can't stress it enough, is just what you just said, which is collaborate. The collaboration is the key to so much of this game. Don't go at it alone. If you go at it alone, it will be a lonely journey. But like for me, like I'll be honest, like to create content that is just like me looking at a camera and talking, like I even struggle with that. But for me to jump on and engage with another influencer and have a conversation, it's so much more natural to me. And it creates so much more content, but more importantly, like it shows you engaging in like who you are when you have a conversation. People love to be a fly on the wall for a conversation as opposed to a sit and listen only model.
Absolutely. Because that's also where, I mean, as part of what I talk about a lot is like people, like you said, people, they want to know you. They want to know, like, and trust you. And that includes all of the ums and the flubs and the dog barking in the background, like all the amazing stuff.
I'm very good at all of those things, especially the dog barking in the background.
So. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Mark. I really appreciate your time. And everybody, make sure that you go check it out. Mark, tell us the domains one more time to go to.
Yeah. If you are looking for custom boxes, you can go to customboxchallenge.com. That's the do it yourself. If you want it done for you, just go to customboxagency.com. and with virtual events. You can check out our Facebook group, which is Live Online. Live is spelled L-Y-V-E, Launch Your Virtual Event, or our website is just for the do-it-yourself, rovermethod.com. That's kind of the sign behind me. That's Rapid Online Virtual Event Roadmap. That's why it's called Rover. It's not about logs. Virtual events. Yeah.
But it gave you an excuse to get Adderall in it, so.
Oh man, if I can get my dog on something, the stories I can tell makes it so much easier to sell the product for me.
100%. Now we just need to get something with a cat video and you'll be primed. All right. Thanks so much, Mark. Yeah. I really, he's like, no cats.
No, I was just joking because like someone literally was like, oh, I love the sign behind you that says Rover with a picture of a cat. And I was like, no, that's my dog. That's a corgi. So, which would be brilliant from a marketing perspective to call it Rover, but the mascot is a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things you, yeah. Oh, the journey.
Another version for sure. All awesome. Right. Thank you. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.